Are you guys ready to learn today? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, a guy back. Are you ready to learn?
Yes.
Come on. All right, the back row's not ready. I'm going to try one more time. Maybe the back row will get with it. Are you guys ready to learn?
Yes.
Okay, I got a nod at least. That's close enough. All right, sometimes I like to read instructions. When I was 10, I did not read instructions. I actually decided to install a dimmer switch in my parents' bedroom without reading the instructions. Now I'm 10 years old. I don't know anything about electricity. I didn't shut the breaker off. I had a metal screwdriver. I took off the cover to the electrical switch. I took my metal screwdriver. I touched it to the hot part of the switch. Well, what do you think happened? Bam, man. I thought I was gonna die. I fell over. I crawled over my parents' bed. I crawled up on it. My heart was doing weird things. I was sweating. Like, it hurt. I thought I was gonna die. You guys agree that instructions are important? Yeah? All right, then let's write this down. Instructions matter, right? Instructions matter. All right, nowadays, I'm not in danger of electrocuting myself to death because I read instructions. And I know when I'm going to put in a new switch, I have to unhook it, or I have to turn off the breaker. Well, I have one of these Alexa things. Anyone here have an Alexa? Right, they're awesome, aren't they? Like, you just talk to it, and you're like, Alexa, give me a fart, and it will fart. You say, Alexa, turn on the lights, and I got a couple lights hooked up to it. Well, for Christmas, I got this dimmer switch that hooks up to Alexa, so I could say, Alexa, dim the lights to 50% so I can make out with my wife, and it will dim the lights to 50%. It's a good thing, right? Hello? All right, this is a good thing. And so I'm going to hook this up right away. I'm not waiting. So I go and I turn off the breaker. Good, I'm not going to die. And there's a dimmer switch on there right now. And I take the dimmer switch off. And I'm getting ready to put on the new one. And I read the instructions. I read them twice because I know instructions matter. And it says, like, put the red to the red. And put the other red to the red, and then the green to the green. Okay, so I got two reds and the green. I go to the wall, and what do you think I have there? Do you think I have two reds and a green? No. I've got a red, a black, a white, and a copper. And I'm like, what the heck? And so I get on YouTube, and I look at more instructions. I'm researching more and more until finally I think I got it figured out which one goes where. And I hook them all up, and then I go to put it in the wall. You know what happens now? It doesn't fit in the wall. The wall hole's too small. And in my house, I'm not allowed to cut in the wall. Like, I'm not good at that stuff. If I were to try, my wife would be like, stop right now, right? She just knows it's gonna end poorly. So I'm not allowed to cut walls out and stuff. So I'm like, great, what am I gonna do? My dimmer won't fit in the wall. Well, I'm gonna make sure this works anyway. I go downstairs, I turn on the breaker. Do you think it works? No, it doesn't work. So I try wiring it different. I look at more instructions, still doesn't work. I can't get the sucker to work. So I'm just like so frustrated. I'm just gonna hook up the old dimmer switch now. I take this back up. Now it's been an hour, all right? It's supposed to be like a 15-minute job. It's been an hour. I take this one off. I go to hook my old dimmer switch back up. And then I look at it and again, the colors aren't the same between the switch and the wires. And I don't remember how it was before. So I go looking things up. I call my brother who's an electrician. We talk about it. Then I realize that this company who made this dimmer switch has a 24/7 helpline for idiots like me. And so I call it and I explain to the guy what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put on this dimmer switch that's 15 years old and I need some help. And he tells me, all right, well what wires do you have there? And I tell him and he goes, wow, that is weird. That's not an encouraging sign, okay? And he's like, well, why don't you go upstairs and unhook another outlet and let's see what those wires look like. So I go upstairs and I'm unhooking outlets. I tell him where our house is wired and I'm trying to figure this out. Finally, we figured out that I've got it wired the right way. I'm like, hey, this is beautiful. This is good. I did it the right way. I put it back in the wall. I screw it in. I turn on the breaker and I hear, boom. That's not a good sign if you don't know anything about electricity. I go upstairs and I turn on the dimmer. The light comes on, but now it doesn't dim. You know what this feels like? To try to hook up a brand new dimmer so that I can dim with my voice, have a voice-activated dimmer. And instead of having a voice-activated dimmer, I now have a dimmer that doesn't dim. Grr! All right, instructions matter. I wish the instructions had been better. Are you tracking with me on this one? I wish the instructions had been better. I read them, but it didn't tell me what to do when you have black, white, red, green if you're looking for black, white, copper. Right? Have you ever wished something had more instructions than it came with? Yeah? In fact, I wish life came with more instructions than life comes with. Like, I wish they had instructions for marriage. Do you know how many times I've been a stupid husband? Like, I can't even count. Do you know how many times I've made stupid parenting choices? Parents, do you wish there was a parenting book? Not like someone's opinion, but just tells you, hey, when your kid does this, you do this. I just wish these things existed. I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, yeah, well, person I'm near, they wouldn't read the instruction book for life if it existed. If that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand. If you know a person like that, raise your hand. Okay? And if that person's you, keep your hand up. Okay. All right, look, church has already helped you out. Raise your hands again if that was you. Someone near them, turn to them and just say, we're going to talk about this later. All right, help them out. All right, talk about that later. All right, look, God has provided you, this is what's important today. God has provided you with an instruction manual for three things. You ready for it? Long life, peace, and prosperity. Better relationships, better finances, more happiness, longer life. And look, we aren't some health and wealth church, all right? We're not a televangelist church. We're not, but I am serious about this. I'm going to read from the Bible a section of scripture in context. And when I read it, your mind is going to go poof, or at least it should. Mine did when I studied this. I mean, God brought me this section of scripture and it was just so clear what God was saying. Have you ever struggled with paying bills? Have you ever had a problem with peace in your own home? Or have you ever just wondered in general if God was ever going to bless what you were doing or not? Look, if you get the instructions that we're looking at today, you will know God, you will have peace, and you will have prosperity. But if you miss this, you're going to have poverty, anger, and a shorter life. I'd prefer that you know the instructions and have what is good. So if you grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, this is where we find this information. Now, Proverbs was written by a guy named Solomon. Okay, so you can turn to 512. That's the page number. When you find the chapter, the big number 3 there, we're going to read verses 1 and 2. There isn't a little tiny 1 because at the beginning of chapter 3 or any chapter, it assumes that's verse 1. So verse 1, you see a little 2, that's going to be verse 2. That's what we're going to study today, okay? This series, we're going to go all the way through Proverbs chapter 3. You should read the whole chapter. It's amazing. But let's just focus on these two verses for right now. All right, this was written by a guy named Solomon. He was one of the wisest men who ever lived. In fact, God came to Solomon and said, what do you want? Riches? Do you want me to kill your enemies? What do you want me to do for you? And Solomon said, give me wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. So he's one of the wisest men who's ever lived. And he wrote this. And when he writes this, he's writing on behalf of wisdom. Okay, are you following me? Look at me. Are you following me? He's writing on behalf of wisdom. So this is Solomon who wrote, but it's wisdom who's saying these things. Okay, personified wisdom. And it's God because God and wisdom are synonymous. So this is God's wisdom coming to us. And it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Gosh, I'm going to read that again. Hear this. This should just blow our minds. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years. Okay, let's just pray that God will speak to us to that. God, we want to have a long life. We want to have peace and prosperity. And we know that without you giving us eyes to see it, we won't understand what you're talking about today. Give us eyes, give us open hearts. Speak through me, Lord. Make this true to us. In the name of Jesus, make this powerful. Amen. All right, before we study what this means, I have to tell you something about the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is principles, not promises, okay? And I know this because at the very beginning of the book, it says this. This is chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, that's who wrote it, for king of Israel, and he's gonna tell us why he wrote this, for gaining wisdom and instruction. You want life's instructions? They're right here, book of Proverbs. And understanding words of insight. Okay, you want to understand words of insight? You want to understand smart things? You got to know this. He says, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. Prudent behavior is wise behavior, long-term thinking, knowing what is sensible, right? He's giving you instruction in making the right decisions in life. He says, and doing what is right and just and fair. So that's the reason this book exists. It is principles and wisdom and instruction for knowing how life works the way God designed the world. Do you believe God designed this world? Okay. Do you believe it's true that when you design something as the designer, you might have set it up to function in certain ways? People can, if I design a motorcycle, I've designed it to be ridden certain ways. Someone can get on it backwards and maybe try to make it go, but I've designed it to ride it. When God designed the world, he's designed it with certain rules, and it works a certain way. And if we follow those rules, well, you know what, let's just write this down. Biblical proverbs are instructions for us, but they are not promises. Okay, they are principles for how God designed the world to normally work. I want you to circle the word principles there. They are principles, not promises. Everything we read in this series is a principle. Okay, a principle or a promise is when I say to my kids, if you get A's on your schoolwork, I will take you out for ice cream. They can bank on that, right? I've made them a promise. A principle is when I say, kids, if you get good grades in school, your life will be better. That's a principle because it's generally true. But it's also true that even though that is generally true, if they get good grades in school and then they start using crack, their life will suck, won't it? Because though this general principle is true, you can interrupt a principle by messing it up. Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about, right? God's gonna give you rules for peace. If you do these things, your life will be full of peace. But if you marry someone who's an angry person, you're gonna have an angry marriage until that gets fixed. Give me a nod if you understand what I'm talking about, okay? So these are principles for long life, peace, and prosperity. We all want peace and prosperity, right? Just, if you want that, go ahead and say yeah if you do, right? Just yeah? Okay, we all want that. And this verse just told you the principles, the instructions on how to get peace and prosperity. Did you notice what the rules were in this? Or sorry, not the rules, the principles were in this. I'm going to have you look at the screen a little bit. I'm going to actually point some things out here. Okay, so it says, right here if I can get this, says they will... Okay, when it says they will, what is the they referring to? They refers to what? My teaching and my commands. Okay, so they is my teaching and my commands. So when God says these things, it's my commands and my teaching, and what are they going to do? They will prolong and they will bring you peace and prosperity. These are the things. And so this is the wisdom of God that we're talking about here. God's wisdom. I don't know if you probably can't read my handwriting there, but God's wisdom, those things are what we have to pay attention to because that is what brings us these things. Let's write this down. Wisdom and God's teachings and commands are the vehicle that delivers long life, peace, and prosperity. It is God's teachings. It's nothing else. If you want long life, if you want peace and you want prosperity, this verse starts out by saying, do not, what did it say? Do not, look at it and say it, forget. Let's try that. Do not forget. It says, do not forget. Do not forget what? God's teachings and God's commands. This is a huge deal. If you forget them, they're not going to help you. Have you ever gone out to the store, grabbed something, went to checkout, and then realized you left your money at home? You may have had it, but if you forgot it, you can't receive the blessing from it. You know what I'm talking about? You only need to tweet that or something, right? You may have had it, but if you forgot it, you can't receive the blessing from it. Same thing with God's word. God's word teaches us the principles and how to have peace and prosperity and a long life. You may have had it at one point, but if you forgot it, you can't receive the blessings from it. Actually, let's just write this down, okay? God's word, you may have had it, but if you forgot it, you can't receive the blessing from it. See, some of you all are trying to rely on the fact that your parents or your granddad was a deacon in the church. Well, so what? Some of you are like, you know what? When I was a kid, I went to VBS a bunch. It doesn't matter. You may have had it, but if you forgot it, you can't receive the blessing from it. Some of you are like, you know, I gave my life to Jesus a few years ago. You may have had it, but if you forgot it, you can't receive a blessing from it. Maybe you knew God's words. Maybe you studied the Bible at one point in your life. Maybe you had a parent who told you all about God or a grandparent who brought you to church even when you didn't go, right? You had a drug problem. They drug you to church on Sunday. They drug you to church on Wednesday. They drug you to church on Thursday, right? Maybe you had that, but maybe you had it and you forgot it. And now you can't receive the blessing from God because you don't have it anymore. And some of you forget even forgetting it. Some of you, this has been available to you all your life. You can't even forget it because you never had it to start. You don't read it. You don't know it. The instruction manual for peace and prosperity is right here. And you don't read it. Or maybe you read it enough just to misinterpret it. And your life has fallen apart. You don't know why. And you're going to install a dimmer switch with a metal screwdriver, leaving the breaker on. And when you get zapped, you're like, oh, why is God leaving me in a bad place? You didn't read the instruction book, man. Didn't you read where it says if you do this wrong, you could die? Did you notice that? No, you didn't notice it because you're not reading it. Right, here's what I want you to get today. Right? We got to feast on this, right? We got to feast on this because this is the instructions for long life, peace, and prosperity. In fact, I'm going to say something that's really cheesy, but I just want us to remember it, okay? I know it's cheesy. Just go with it. Act like it's cool. All right, let's do it. Write this down. Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing, all right? Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing. All right, I know it's cheesy, but could you all help me out? I'm going to say that once, just everybody be like, oh, wow, cool, wow, all right? Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing. Yeah, pretty good, huh? All right, can we read? I love you guys. I love you guys. All right, can we read this out loud together, all right? Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing. We got to be feasting on God's words. All right, you can stop faking now. All right. We got to be feasting on God's words. Nothing else will bring us the peace and prosperity that, you know, actually, this reminds me of some Bible history. If you read your Bible, you might know this story, but there was a king named Josiah. He was a really young guy. He was like single digits when he became king. When he was like 16, he was really starting to seek God with all of his heart, and they didn't have a Bible. See, the nation of Israel had it, but they forgot it and they lost it. And so they weren't receiving God's blessings because they were doing things God didn't want them to do. And so Josiah starts seeking God. Here's what's cool about seeking God. Whenever you seek God, he will reveal himself to you. So Josiah starts seeking God and he says to this guy named Hilkiah, he goes, go fix the temple up because we let the temple, the church, get in disrepair. And so they go to fix the temple up. Hilkiah's like putting up new bricks and fixing things, and he finds this crack, and inside there are some scrolls, and it's the words of God written down by Moses, the prophet. And Hilkiah's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe what I just found. He takes it to King Josiah. He reads it, and King Josiah falls down. He rips his garment. It's a sign of mourning back then. He ripped his garment, and he's like, why haven't we known this? He mourned because he didn't do everything written in the Word of God. And so he was so petrified by this, he ripped his clothing. And we have Word of God sitting on our shelf, and we're like, I'm going to Netflix. And then we wonder why we have problems. We don't know God's words. And you know what happens in North Korea today? We say feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing. These people in North Korea, they know it. The Christians there. God's word says, do not forget this. And do you know what they go through to get Bibles in North Korea? This happens all around the world, but in North Korea, if you have a Bible there, let me explain it to you this way. There was an American, okay? An American, not a North Korean, but an American who went to North Korea a number of years ago. He had a Bible with him. He was on a legitimate tour. He went to a bathroom, left his Bible in the bathroom, and left. They arrested him for leaving his Bible in the bathroom, put him in prison for 3 years. They only released him because he was an American and international pressure was too much. Can you imagine? If the American with international pressure got 3 years in prison for having a Bible, for leaving a Bible in a bathroom, what do you think they do to North Korean citizens who have a Bible, who smuggle a Bible into there? But these people risk their lives to have the Word of God because they know they have to feast on it. They know that it's words of life. There's actually missionaries in South Korea right now, and they fill balloons, 40-foot balloons up with hydrogen, float them up. They're filled with Bibles and tracts about who Jesus is and little thumb drives with the Bible on it. They float these things up and pilot them above North Korea and then let them loose, and all the Bibles and things go falling around the city or countryside. And why do they do this? So that people can have the Word of God, and people risk their lives to go get these Bibles. What happens when a North Korean gets caught there? A reporter named Holly McKay says this. For the vast majority of trapped Christians inside the brutal dictatorship, the consequence of having a Bible is life in a labor camp or public execution by firing squad. Their relatives are too often subject to callous retribution. In North Korea, you get caught with a Bible, you go to prison forever. And your relatives may get tortured. Would you say it's worth it to own a Bible if you could go to prison forever and your child could be tortured? These people say yes, and they do it. They need the Word of God because they understand feasting on God's teaching. Look, everything in this world distracts us from God's Word. We may not go to prison for having a Bible, but Satan's found a really good way to keep us away from it. It's called video games, Netflix, children.
Amen.
Right? It's called jobs. It's called bills. In fact, instead of pursuing peace and prosperity by God's words, we use instant gratification. What do I mean? Okay. Anyone in here ever go camping? Anyone in here ever go camping? I'm the only one. Anyone in here ever go camping? Yeah? Okay. All right. I like to go camping. And when I go camping, like in the mornings, I wake up and it is freezing cold because I don't camp in Kansas. That's like immoral. And so I go camping in Colorado up in the mountains and I wake up and it is freezing cold. And I'm like, okay, I gotta get up and start a fire so that we have food to eat. And I start to take the sleeping bag off and I'm like, oh, dang. I put it back on because that is too cold out there. And what happens is, I know I gotta go out there to start a fire, be a man, gotta provide food for my family, I gotta go pee, but I don't wanna get out there because it's too cold. Like, I feel like I got peace and prosperity right here. Why am I leaving the sleeping bag? And I will stay in the sleeping bag until I cannot hold my pee any longer. You campers, do you know what I'm talking about? Right? And then finally, I'm like, I gotta go. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. It's awful. And it's so freezing cold. But I know that if I want prosperity, if I want food and fire and a bathroom, I gotta get out of what feels good right in the moment. Listen, some of you have been sleeping in sleeping bags instead of feasting on God's teaching. And that's why you're missing peace and prosperity. What am I talking about? I'll give you some examples. Now understand, we're all sinners here. Give me a nod, We're all sinners. So this isn't about judgment. This is about reality, okay? Here's what God says about sex. Hebrews chapter 13. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators, that's people who have sex without marriage, and adulterers, God will judge. Okay? So we have this truth. God's telling us this principle from Scripture. If we obey this, we're going to have better lives. Your marriage will be better. Your relationships will be better. What happens is, y'all have sex without being married. You move in with someone, and you're like, dang, this feels warm and cozy. It feels good. It feels good to have sex without being married. It really does. That's why we do it. And what happens is, you know God's word, and then you're like, oh, okay, I probably shouldn't. Oh, that feels lonely. That feels cold. I'm not going to do that because I got peace and prosperity right here in my sleeping bag. It feels good right now. I'm going to stay here instead of trusting what God says for a better life. And what you end up with is temporary warmth, but no fire, no food. You get death. Get God's judgment, right? And then the world is living apart from God's principles, and we end up with a world full of like STDs,
yeah.
Broken hearts, divorces rampant, children being raised without fathers, married people getting married, they ignore God's directions for marriage, they had sex, lived together before they got married, then they get married, and they don't understand why their marriage is so difficult, and God's already told them, I designed it a certain way, follow my instructions, you'll have peace and prosperity. You see, but we forget it. Here's another one, Proverbs 11:25. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed, right? So we know God says generous people will prosper. But what happens is we have a little bit of money and we're like, dang, I don't want to give that. I don't want to be generous because like I need my money to pay my bills. And so we don't give the money away. And for the moment, you forgot. Remember the beginning of chapter 3, don't forget. But you forgot God's teachings because it feels good to keep your money. You hold on to it because you're like, it feels safer to hold on to my money than it does to be generous. But then you're wondering why you run out of money. It's because you didn't listen to God's words, right? You forgot that God said a generous person will prosper. You got to take off the sleeping bag. You got to start to be generous, which is a little bit scary, a little bit cold at first. Hebrews 10 says this, it's another one. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more. I could read a lot of verses about this, but some of y'all sleep in on Sunday mornings because it feels good, don't it? Feels good to sleep in. You don't want to get, you're like, I'm going to go to church today. Oh, I don't want to get out. It's December. It's January. It's freezing cold. Like you don't, or you take a job that doesn't allow you to come to church because you think that financial security is more important because you forgot, there's Proverbs 3 again, you forgot God's principles are what bring peace and prosperity. And so instead of going, all right, I'm not going to work those hours that my boss wants me to work. I'm going to be with God's people instead. And it's scary to take that first step. You're missing church 5, 6, 7 times a year because your boss says it and you think you need the money and you think the way to prosperity is to ignore God's rules and just do what you think is best. But that's not the way of peace and prosperity, is it? Look, we've all done stupid stuff. Just give me a yeah, that's you, yeah? Right? We've all done stupid stuff. This isn't about judgment. This is about us saying to each other, we done screwed up and we need to find God's ways again. Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing. All I want you to do today is not feel guilty. I just want you to start feasting on God's words and going, dang, it said it right here, okay? God's word said it right here, so I'm going to do it. Even if it sounds scary, even if it sounds like I could lose everything, I'm going to do what God told me to do because I know that if I do not forget God's words, it will bring me peace and prosperity and long life. Actually, let's look at that verse again, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is kind of cool. Okay, it says, keep my commands. Keep my commands. Now, what does this mean? Like in the Old Testament, people actually would take little boxes called phylacteries and they would put them on their forehead so they could keep God's commands with them wherever they went. But where are we instructed to keep God's commands? In our heart. So when it says keep, it's actually saying the way we do this is with our heart. Now, what's interesting about the heart is that the heart is not just our emotions, it is our emotions, but it's also our mind, it's our intellect, it's our will, it's our desires. So it's like everything about us. So we're supposed to keep God's commands in every part of our body. Actually, let's go ahead and write this down. I must keep, which means I'm going to store, I'm going to secure, I'm going to protect God's words in my heart, which means my thoughts, my feelings, my mind, my desires. So when it says keep God's teachings, it's not just like, hey, try to do the right thing. It's like you read it, you store it, you put it inside your brain, you memorize that, you try to feel things about that. It's a big deal. You could almost say that your heart is supposed to be a vault. I wanted to get a big safe here, but I didn't know if the stage would hold it. Like your heart is like this giant vault and you just like live in that vault. Boom, just you and the word of God. Like the only thing you got to keep you going is the word of God there. You read it, you study it, you live on it, you breathe on it. Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing. You know, we're doing the 10-week challenge here and I'm challenging you for 10 weeks to, you know, give 10% of all your money and to be at church for 10 weeks in a row. But that middle one we're talking about, 10 minutes a day with God. 10 minutes a day with God. Can I be honest with you for a minute? Peace and prosperity and longevity come from God's commands and teachings. If you really believed that and you understood the power that God's words have to change your life, and then I as a preacher got up here and said, spend 10 minutes a day reading your Bibles, you would be insulted. You would say, what is wrong with you? This is the key to life, and you want me to spend 10 minutes with it? You are a bad preacher, Jeff. That's what you, look, if someone took your children away from you and said, you can have 10 minutes with them, would that be satisfactory to you, or would you put up a little bit of a fight? If someone said, okay, I'm gonna be your nutritionist, you're gonna follow my diet plan, we're gonna start out for this month with 10 calories a day, you would be hangry. You would not go back to that nutritionist. Give me a yeah if that's true, right? If I came to you and I said, guys, I want you to breathe oxygen for 10 minutes a day. And then you went to your growth group and you're like, growth group, oh, guys, So I know we're supposed to breathe our oxygen for 10 minutes every day. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I forgot a few days this week. Well, why didn't you do it? Well, you know, I had bills and I had that thing from Jimmy's school and, you know, work. I had to work extra hours. And honestly, I just forgot to breathe. And then your growth group was like, you know what? That's okay. Just try hard this next week. What? No, they'd be like, you got to breathe, idiot, right? Amen. You got to breathe. What is wrong with you? And you all are treating the Word of God like it's just some fictional book that inspires you when you need some inspiration. Jesus said it's not that way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, it is written, man shall live not on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that came from 40 days of Jesus not eating and not drinking. And at the end of 40 days not eating and not drinking, he didn't say, give me some food. He said, give me the Word of God. And you don't need all these things you think you need, but you need the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 3 again, verses 1 and 2. The reason this is so vital, because it says, they will what? They will bring you peace and prosperity. Okay, just to be clear, what is they? Yes, the commands and the teachings of God. They will bring you. Okay, so you want peace? Do you want prosperity? Do you want many years in your life? You don't go find those things. What did the Word of God do? It brings it to you. You don't got to go looking for it. You don't got to find a doctor who's got a special pill. You don't got to join a special program. All you need is a vehicle that brings it to you. Let's write this down. Wisdom and God's teachings and commands are the vehicle. And here's what I want you to do, because you already wrote this. It's a little bit higher on your outline. You already wrote this down. Here's what I want you to do. Where it says delivers, I want you to star it, underline it, right beside, maybe draw a picture of a car, right? This delivers it. Scratch out delivers and write delivers in big letters or something, right? This delivers it to you. This is not something that you have to go find, like obey God's words and then you'll work really hard to find it somewhere. No, it's like this is the delivery system to bring this to you. I just want you to get in that vehicle for 10 minutes a day. I'm a bad pastor. I should be like harassing you every day. Did you read your Bible for 2 hours today? No? Keep going then, right? Our growth groups can do that. Okay, our growth groups can do that with each other. But like, just 10 minutes. I just want you to get in the vehicle that brings you peace and prosperity for 10 minutes every day. Feasting on God's teaching is what brings what is pleasing. Like, I know we've all got screwed up at some point. Right, we've all forgotten God's word and his teachings at some point, and we got messy stuff in our lives. Anybody here got a messy life? Just say yeah sometimes. Yeah? Anyone in here ever forget something God told you to do and you gone and done something God didn't want you to do? Go ahead and say yeah. Right? Yeah? Me too. This promise of blessing is a principle, but there is a promise. Look, though we sin, though we screw up, and what we deserve is God's anger and God's judgment. God actually designed the world so that even though we screwed up and deserve everything bad, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you so that you don't get what you deserve in eternal life. You don't have to go to hell unless you want it. You can reject God or you can accept the forgiveness that God offers you. Right? God has sent his son Jesus Christ. When Jesus went to the cross, every single thing you'd done wrong was put on Jesus, and God punished Jesus for it instead of you so that you don't have to suffer with eternal punishment. This is a beautiful thing. You have to accept the forgiveness that God offers. And some of you, man, when we talk about Jesus in this way, it's like you check out because you want to hear like the prosperity stuff. You want to hear the practical stuff. You're like, yeah, okay, I heard about the forgiveness of Jesus. Listen, you are never going to find true prosperity unless you have the forgiveness of God just washing over you. Unless you've accepted that and decided to live inside of that. When we accept that, we actually have a change in attitude towards God. We start to develop a relationship with God, and we know who Jesus, and we start to walk with him, and following God's commands aren't burdensome. It feels freeing because we aren't burdened and chained to our sin anymore. We're free to walk the way God tells us to walk, and when we're walking it, we realize, wow, this is the way to peace and prosperity. Sometimes even the word prosperity takes on new meaning for us, because you tell someone who doesn't know Jesus that you want them to have prosperity, they automatically assume it's Ferraris and trips to Paris. It's not necessarily what it is, but it is good things. Like, I want you to have peace and prosperity. I also want you to have eternal life, which is going to be peace and prosperity forever and ever. Let's write this down, okay? Here's what we want to do at home. I'll read my Bible, okay? I will feast on God's teaching and commands. Like, feast, maybe circle the word feast, because it's not just, I'm just going to read it and then put it down. Like, if this was really life, really the path to peace and prosperity, I want you to feast on it, read it, okay? At least 10 minutes every day, and commit to your growth group to do so. Maybe go to your growth group this week and say, you know what, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this every single day for at least 10 minutes. And then this week, I want you to read Proverbs chapter 3, the one we're in for this series, at least 3 times this week. It's such a good chapter, and I would love for you to come here to church already having some of these words inside of you as we start to dig deeper, so you're not hearing it for the first time. And then read Matthew chapter 5 at least once. So this week, hopefully, you'll read Proverbs chapter 3 3 times, Matthew chapter 5 once. Someone texted in and said this: I was really hoping for a feel-good Joel Osteen sermon this morning. Yeah, look, we're not televangelists here. We're not like super health and wealth. Like, you got... God's always going to give you what's good. Like, we're not going to do that here. We tell you what's real, but also tell you what's prosperous. Right? You follow God's ways, which you got to get out of sleeping bag. Sometimes it's going to feel scary, and God will bless you for it. Let's go on here. Let's take it home. How to help other people. I can help drive people towards God's word by pointing out the blessings I experience when I do things God's way. Right? If God's commands and teachings are the vehicle to prosperity, you can be an Uber driver for that vehicle. You can be an Uber driver for God's vehicle to peace and prosperity. You know what Uber stands for? Oh, this is so stupid. Unlimited blessings and eternal rewards, okay? Wow. Thanks. Wow, thank you guys. You remember from before how to lie in church. That's great. All right. Unlimited blessings and eternal. What I want you to do is be an Uber driver for God's blessings, all right? You remember these blessings. You remember these rewards that you get. When you follow God's ways, you can share those things with other people and show them the way. When I was growing up, my mom would always point out whenever something good happened to our family that was done by God or because we obeyed God and then good resulted, she would always be careful to point out, you know why this happened, right? Because we did what God said here. You can do that for other people. When they're like, wow, that's cool that that happened to you. You can say, well, yeah, but you know why that happened? And point out that you follow God's principles. God's word teaches us about marriage, parenting, money, how to be a neighbor, how to get good neighbors, how to know God. Could you imagine if you took God serious in every one of those areas? Your marriage was great. Your parenting got better. You were a good neighbor. You had good neighbors. Your finances were better. You knew God intimately. If all this, wouldn't that be a much better life? This is real. Yeah. Feasting on God's teaching brings what is pleasing, all right? There's no shortcut. Let's pray. God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us to feast on your words and nothing else. That we'll see how your blessings come when we follow your ways, Lord, that we'll get out of the sleeping bag. I know it's scary for people to obey you sometimes, that I pray that you'll, as we read your word, just break our hearts open, help us to see what you called us to and how you want us to live, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a great week. Go feast on God's word.